If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Microbrew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The season is underway, the spring training version of it anyway. Pitchers and catchers have reported. Some players have reported. We have Todd Rosiak, our colleague down in Phoenix, Arizona, covering the Milwaukee Brewers spring training at the Merrivale Complex at American Family Fields of Phoenix. And right now, we're gonna look ahead to this Milwaukee Brewers season. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm joined by my other colleague, Kurt Hoag of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kurt Hoag, how are you doing? There's a lot going on tonight as we record this.
I don't want to say unwell, but I'm envious because our colleague Todd flew down on Monday, maybe Tuesday, but yes. I think he flew down Tuesday. And the ensuing day, JR, we received lots of snow.
We did. We sure did.
The day pitchers and catchers reported, we received lots of snow. And then I did a guest appearance on Foul Territory. Love those guys. They do a great job. And the first question they ask is, how were things down there? Enjoying the sun? And they were unaware that out this window here over my left shoulder was about 8 inches of snow. So yeah. And then I had to shovel more snow over the weekend. And like, my feet are just cold. Nonstop. Yeah. I have really cold feet. I think that's what happens when you're 6'5". Like the blood flow cuts off like midway down my calf. Like my bottom half of my calf down is generally very cold. No one needed to know that, but now you do. So I'm a little envious of the situation. Other than that, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. The Badger basketball team won at Mackey Arena yesterday. So that made my weekend.
You feel good.
Yeah,
you're feeling good about things.
Got to cover a really good UWM game on Sunday. They're playing better. So I don't know if you actually wanted to know how I really was doing, but now you know.
Nobody asks that question actually wanting to know what people are doing. Now, granted, it's a podcast, so I don't know. Like, small talk wouldn't really work here, so I respect it. All, there is a rumor, Kurt, a rumor that you may actually transition briefly into pro basketball, covering things for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Oh, is that what I'm hearing?
We're turning this into a Kurt talks about the basketball he watches podcast, which would be a good, maybe at least kind of entertaining podcast, I don't know. But yeah, your boy, the plan is he'll be at Fiserv Forum on Thursday, talking to some NBA players, talking to some coaches, writing about some basketball games. I really got to learn up on the Bucks. Like, I have not watched nearly enough Bucks this year. I watched a couple of like really, really bad games right before they traded Middleton. And they traded Chris Middleton. And I'm like, well, I don't really like have any interest in watching this anymore. But now, because you are gone and Jim Ozarski is gone and Ben Steele is gone, the number four Bucks reporter has to step into the shoes. Step in the arena and write one story.
I just wanted to be clear that even though you ranked us differently unofficially, I am definitely the third option of the other three gentlemen that you mentioned.
Sure.
Your mug was just third option.
Yeah, your mug was just staring me in the eye. So,
understood. Sorry, yeah. Understood. I have covered one Bucks game this year, so you will be tied with me on the leaderboard if you do, in fact, as I expect, cover that game, the Milwaukee Bucks. Right now, I said there was a lot going on tonight. The NBA All-Star game is happening right before me. I'm trying to toggle between that and the SNL 50th anniversary special, neither of which is something that I really feel good about watching while I'm recording a podcast. Can't really hear the SNL.
We stop trying to make the NBA All-Star game a thing. Like, you're just not going to, like, make it competitive. I don't know. I don't really. Maybe I just don't care if it is or not, because I'm not going to watch it either way.
I am with you. I think I was fine with it for a while because the dunk contest and the three-point contest were the weekend. You know, like, they had stolen the spotlight and sure, the game was the afterthought. But now even that is an afterthought. So now it's just, like, a lot of afterthoughts. It's tough.
But, like,
it's
the dunk contest, Mac McClung is still making the dunk contest enjoy. Like, there is an element. He's a good dunker. He's a very good slam dunk contest dunker. If it weren't for him, this thing would be completely kaput. I don't know. There's an element of, like, it's not even fair. So it's really not that fun because it's not competitive. But, like, I don't know. At least he's doing cool dunks.
Yeah, but he said he doesn't want to do it again. He's three-peated. He's not an NBA player. Like, it's just like having, even though he's kind of a cool story, it's like,
yeah,
let's outsource our, our marquee event with talent that is not in the NBA at the moment. Anyway, we're talking a lot about basketball because the Milwaukee Brewers did nothing this offseason. So we really have nothing to discuss. The Brewers, the same Brewers that left you at the end of 2024 are here at the beginning of 2025.
Except for two of the best players.
Except for two of their best players who are now gone.
Really liked. Yeah.
We're going to start there. We will have our predictions. This is our predictions episode. Kurt and I love to be gloriously, gloriously wrong and talk about how wrong we were once the season is over. That's one of our best episodes each year. But you got to set the table first, and that's where we are here in the middle of February, getting set for the 2025 baseball season. The Brewers, as we discussed with Jonathan Judge, are expected to be about a 500 team, according to projection systems, maybe a little north of that. If you think Vegas thinks they'll be a little bit north of that, I believe 83.5 was the over under. So we can discuss some of that. But Kurt, I cannot believe it's February 16th, 17th, whenever you're listening to this, 18th. And the Brewers didn't sign anybody to play the
infield. And Brendan Rodgers is not a Brewer. I agree.
Brendan Rodgers, I thought, was surely going to be a Brewer. Now he might still be. Like, part of me refuses to let go because there is still some terrain here where they can sign somebody. Part of me refuses to accept terrain. Yeah. Well, Terang's going to have to cover a lot of terrain because they have exactly three infielders
Terang.
Bryce Terang, Joey Ortiz, and Rhys Hoskins, the three-man infield. We'll see if the Brewers can make that work for them, because as far as I can tell, they don't have anybody else. Now, that's obviously unfair. Oliver Dunn and Caleb Durbin are players on this baseball team, but it astounds me. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around it that they would not have added an infielder to at least try and fill out what they have. Now, it isn't even just about having a front four. They've got no depth either on the infield. Right. So if somebody gets hurt,
yeah.
I mean, it takes one tweaked hammy.
Yeah. Yeah. If Bryce Terang misses 3 weeks, then, like, let's do the math here. Rhys Hoskins plays first. Joey Ortiz is the shortstop one way or the other. Then you probably have a Dunn Durbin mix hodgepodge there. But I mean, I guess one of them could play at each spot, but, like, more likely is they're sort of in this platoon, or if you're facing a lefty, then you're playing Monasterio and Durbin. It's
bad.
What you want necessarily, but that said, I do have a take on this actually.
In your predictions.
In the predictions. So that's coming.
Okay.
We'll talk about this maybe a little more.
Of course.
I just wrote about the third base position for our positional preview series up at jsonline.com, and I came away basically with the take of, like, I'm not like, we really maybe shouldn't be that surprised they didn't sign anyone. Like, deep down, I'm like, I can't believe they didn't sign anyone. I think I will still always have that, but, like, this is sort of a page not sort of, this is a page out of their own book that the Brewers are pulling. They eschew bringing in a low cost veteran mid-level free agent who has experience. And they let the young guy sort of go through the growing pains on a team that's trying to win. They did it with Terang, did it with Churio. Churio is a little bit different level, but Mitchell to a degree. They did it with Joey Ortiz. It's a cheap way of going about things, no doubt, but it has generally worked. The fruits have been reaped. Terang won a platinum glove. Churio is one of the best players in the National League over the second half. So the plan isn't terrible based on precedent, but also a lot. There's a difference between Jackson Churio coming up to the big leagues and letting him figure it out, and Bryce Terang coming up to the big leagues and letting him figure it out because you know he's going to be a really good defender, and Garrett Mitchell and all these guys. And there's a difference between those guys and 27-year-old Oliver Dunn, and I don't remember how old Caleb Durbin is, maybe 26, 25. Either way, those players are not at the pedigree that Churio and the like were when they first came up. So maybe it's not a great comparison to just assume it'll be the same again, but they have done this.
Have they, though? Because I got to tell you, I went back and I looked at the last, say, 30 years of Brewers off seasons, and they've always been active to a degree. Now, you can't be
sure,
you
gotta, you're being
sure. But I mean, major moves to their starting lineup. Now, I don't want to be completely unfair. They did trade for Nestor Cortez. They traded Devin Williams in a deal that brought them Durbin and Nestor Cortez. Nestor Cortez will certainly help them in the starting rotation. And Caleb Durbin will be a contributor this year. It's pretty clear at this point. That's got to be how they're looking at him. They also, they did make a couple lower end signings. But until they signed Tyler Alexander, a veteran.
To the offense?
Yeah. Until they signed Tyler Alexander.
They haven't signed anyone to the offense.
That's correct. And even the guys they did sign on the pitching staff, they did not play in the major leagues in 2024. They added a couple guys to the 40-man, Elvin Rodriguez, Grant Wolfram, who has not made a major league appearance yet, and Elvin Rodriguez, who played in Japan in 2024. I'm not saying those signings should be discounted. I'm just saying it's hard to feel like that is a legitimate addition to this team. And it may very well work out, but again, you have to go back to 1995 to find an offseason that was maybe this uninspired in terms of player movement and additions. 1997, I guess, was pretty bad too. They did sign Doug Jones that year, who ended up being an all-star level closer. But obviously that was a veteran at the end of his career. Not a big offseason, but those teams were terrible. 2013 was pretty bad too for the Brewers, but they weren't expected to do much, and they still were active. They still made some moves, and making moves does not guarantee success. I think that's obvious, a little bit obvious, but also how can you look at this team, subtract your best offensive player, and say to yourself, this offense is still capable of going to the playoffs? Or yes, they won 93 games last year. And at some point, I suppose it's complaining to be this 93-win team didn't do more to get better when they, have been to the playoffs X number of times or whatever, but they lost their best offensive player. 93 wins was nice. 89, there's a team that won 89 games and missed the playoffs. So they're saying, you subtract our best offensive player, but we're going to stand pat and figure we can still get into that ballpark where 88, 89 wins is going to be what you need to do to get a playoff spot. It doesn't take much to fall off from what they were. And I think the Cubs, the Cubs not getting Alex Bregman, I think, is a really big boost, honestly, because I think that would have put the Cubs in a hemisphere that the Brewers could not have competed in.
Yeah, maybe not long-term, though.
Maybe not long-term. But
the Cubs are already kind of broaching into, they've mortgaged a little bit of the future.
True. And you don't want the Brewers to do that. I get it. They have to be creative, okay? If you believe that they just can't spend the money. And with TV contracts and such, they probably just cannot spend the money. Or at least in their mind. But wow, nothing. They did nothing this offseason. That's hyperbole, but not by a lot.
There's not an invisible force there that's keeping the wallet closed.
Probably not.
There kind of is, actually. The mind is an invisible force in many ways. yes. When we go to the grocery store with our children and they want this, that, and that, there is an invisible force telling them, and it's the waves of us saying no. So
But we're not talking about a luxury candy bar. We're talking about the meat and potatoes. You can't serve a meal without four infielders who are going to function all season long.
I mean, this all kind of goes back to the conversation we had with Jonathan Judge, right? Where they're probably understanding that the Brewers probably view themselves a little more optimistically than, you know, Vegas or the Picota projections do.
I'm sure they do, but of course.
I think you would be really, really twisting your own arm to say this is a 90-win team, like, in terms of projections. So I don't think the Brewers could possibly see this as a 90-win roster on paper. But 86, 87, you trust in your player development. There's some variance in there. Yeah, that's probably what this team is. I think I'm going to put them down for 89 wins this year. That's what I'm going to say, 88 to 89.
Are you serious?
Wins. Yeah, that's where I'm going to put them at. Look, I'm not...
Wildly optimistic.
How many times do I need to be wrong going into a season about the Brewers? It's not going to happen this year. This team won 93 games last year. Their Pythagorean record, runs scored and runs allowed, they were better than that. They weren't like one-run game merchants like they've been in years past. They didn't get significantly worse this offseason. They lost a reliever. Willie Adames.
That is a big deal.
Over 2025 could be a big deal. More on that later.
Huge deal.
And Nestor Cortez is sneaky. Might sneaky be a big deal. We'll see. And then the Brewers, they'll find wins on the margins from their additions. Like, if Nestor Cortez ends up being really good, we'll look back at this offseason and be like, oh yeah, the Brewers absolutely knew what they were doing. They got their guy, their meat and potatoes, three-win guy, and then they filled it with a bunch of little sprinkle here, sprinkle there, sprinkle there, and these guys all contribute, and they didn't cost anything, and wow, they're amazing. That's quite possibly what will happen, but look, they should have signed someone for this offseason.
Yes, many someones, multiple someones. Listen, I guess, like,
there were two players named Ha or Hi Sung Kim on the market.
Yeah, they weren't interested in that. Let's say one of Caleb Durbin or Oliver Dunn ends up being really good. And I would point out, like, both of those guys are essentially prospects. You know, Oliver Dunn has a half big league season and he was overmatched a lot. I'm sure he'll get a lot better. And he's a solid defender. He's a good defender. And I believe he'll be much better this year than he was last year. But, like, he missed half a season. You know, like, he's coming off an injury. That's a question mark all by itself. And Caleb Durbin, maybe he's a lot more special than we think, but, like, there's nothing about his profile that's like, oh wow, that guy's a star in waiting. I mean, if they get a best case scenario out of him, like maybe they did for Bryce Terang in the first half of 2024, yeah, maybe that's something to like, of course. But even if one of those guys hits, which I think is wildly optimistic, they cannot afford anybody going down. Like, it's not like, yes, they trust their development. Who in the development chain, unless Cooper Pratt at age 21 is a big leaguer at some point this year, who on the infield in the development chain can you rely on? Tyler Black needs to find a position. Cooper Pratt is very young. Andre Monasterio is not a development guy. He's just a utility guy who's been here. And are they really going to rely on him in a pinch? I mean, you and I love that guy. He's great. He's a great dude. And I think as a utility infielder, you could definitely do worse. But as a regular infielder, you could do infinitely better, right? Like, so they don't even have the bodies. Where are the people? Forget the stars.
Look, I know I said we shouldn't be too surprised, right, that the Brewers just did this. And we shouldn't be, because it's the Brewers. But I can't believe they didn't address it at all. I can't believe it either.
And we don't know how, caveat, we don't know how active they were. Maybe they really were chasing after guys who just chose elsewhere. Alex Bregman had better offers reportedly from two teams, the Tigers and the Cubs. Depending on how you look at it.
We talked about this going into the offseason. The market is not there for a starting caliber shortstop or third baseman. I'm surprised they didn't go for like Josh Rojas. And Josh Rojas would start on this team. But we're talking like the Ha-Sung Kim level player.
Yes.
There was one of those on the entire left side of the infield, basically, in the Brewers range. And he signed for 2 years with the Rays. Could the Brewers have done that? Absolutely.
And let's not forget, he is injured. He's injured. Like, he's not going to play the first month of the season. You can't invest 2 years in a guy who you have no idea how he's going to come back from that injury. You know, I get that.
Because, I mean, you could, but the Brewers were not going to because, well, who's at first base on this team?
They've already made that risk
there from ownership, probably. So that's just me speculating, but.
Yeah. I really, I am still, like I said, part of me is like, well, they're still going to sign Brendan Rodgers, right? They have to. Now, Brendan Rodgers isn't going to move the needle a whole lot, but they like need a body.
We can't play this game again. The Brewers do not have to. They never to do the thing that we say they have to do.
That's true. You're right. You're right.
Except for Stein.
I just wonder who they're going to get. Like in this role, who's going to play?
I still feel like they're going to get someone because, I mean, they went out and got Tyler Alexander when the deal, you know, I don't know if it was directly related, it probably was somewhat, went out and got Tyler Alexander after the DL Hall injury news came out. So the Brewers are aware. The Brewers are not unaware of the situation.
No, that is true. I grant that.
Which does make you wonder, like, what do they believe they're going to get out of the Dunbin platoon?
Yeah.
Assuming that's what it is.
And again, you have to acknowledge the Dunbin. They've made it work. For whatever faults they've had, they have made it work. They have gone down in payroll the last 2 years and won more games. They're probably going to go down in payroll again this year.
But not with games.
I would blow my mind if they win more games. It would shock me to no end. But if you had told me at this time last year, this team is going to win 93 games, I would have thought, well, that's stupid. That's not going to happen. Everything, I think, fell for them, almost everything, because Christian Yelich still missed half a year, and that was a big deal. And but they did get a couple of guys that came out of nowhere. I guess I also look at the trade deadline, and the Brewers, the last couple of years, I think, have gotten as much out of the trade deadline as you could reasonably expect. You know, it was Aaron Civale. Before that, it was Carlos Santana. Like, they've made those moves around the fringes that have helped them. So that's good. Marcana. Oh, yeah.
Like fringe trades, sure.
That's right. But there's a lot of action at the trade deadline and just not a lot of difference makers changing teams because there's just so many teams in the mix. We've seen this the last few years. The trade deadline is not where you get your team better. You can't go into this season and say, well, why don't they just see what they have with these young guys? They can always make a trade later. No, that's not true. There's not going to be a difference making infielder just available to you in the middle of the season. It's going to be a lot harder to find talent. So that's why I just can't believe they didn't bring anybody. Is it possible, Kurt, that Sal Frelick at third base, they try to make that happen again? Because
I can't see it happening.
I can't either. He won a gold glove in right field. He won the gold glove.
I have Jackson Churio infielder takes that I'm waiting to dust off at some point.
Oh, that's interesting.
The time might be now.
It might be.
If there's a guy you're going to move to third base, maybe he could play second, I guess. That would make more sense in this alignment. But if there's a guy you're going to move to the dirt from the outfield, I think it's Jackson Churio.
I am intrigued. He did, of course, come up as a shortstop.
Blake Perkins, by the way, would do infield work with Matt Erickson, the infield instructor, all the time pregame.
Okay.
I was very curious about it, and he was like, oh, no, I'm just, like, doing it to just
– Yeah.
Like it just helps.
Well, yeah, sucks. I think Reese Hoskins Hoskins took balls on the left side too, didn't he? He's once a week.
But like pregame solo with Matt Erickson on the grass, like taking short hops, not like in the dirt.
Yeah.
Devin Williams took grounders at shortstop during batting practice. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. And then Blake Perkins was like, yeah, no, it's actually not that interesting. But he's also not the guy I would move to the infield. It's Jackson Churio. That's the guy.
Like, interesting.
That's the dude. He's athletic. He was a shortstop.
That's true.
I don't think a decent second baseman would be out of the equation. But also probably a stupid thing to do. Probably stupid to move Sal Frelick, honestly, for being frank. Just play him in right field. Don't put him at third base. He's not a great hitter anyway.
Yeah, Ryan Braun at third base. Flashbacks just now floating through my head. I don't know if that's fair to Jackson Cherry. I've never seen him try to play third base. So what do I know? Maybe there's something.
Second base only for young Jackson.
Second base. I'm with you.
Yeah. What do you think Keston would cost?
I think Keston Hira has a do not resuscitate sign next to his Brewers career in his heart. I really don't think that's ever going to happen again. I think
it cost Matt Arnold's soul.
I'm pretty sure it's just not going to happen. You know what? Let me ask you one more thing before we move into our predictions. Yes. Speaking of the good news, Kurt, is that I also have doubts about other parts of this team and not just the infield. I feel like the starting rotation similarly is like one injury away from being just really full of questions. And part of that, part of my pessimism there is that DL Hall showed up to camp with a lat injury. Now, this happens every year. Somebody comes to camp with an injury. They're working through the offseason. So like this is par for the course, and it's a player who I think there's some question. We don't really know the role that he's going to provide. I think we wanted to see him get out to a good start to see that he is fully recovered from whatever was ailing him last year. Maybe he shows up with that great fastball that really popped when he was in the Orioles organization. But now he's going to get a late start. Presumably that's going to keep him from being part of the rotation on opening day. Maybe he can pitch out of the bullpen on opening day. I'd be surprised, but it doesn't mean he won't contribute a whole bunch this year, but that is one less option on a rotation that quite honestly has four options, four guys that you're pretty sure are going to start. And then three wild cards in DL Hall, Aaron Ashby, Brandon Woodruff, and then a lot of kids that would be, sort of in the Tobias Myers vein of surprise contributors. So, not a great start. What are you thinking about the starting rotation, Kurt?
Well, it's a good thing they signed Tyler Alexander, which is not a sentence I expected I would utter this offseason.
Oh, we're already there. Oh, no.
Because, they came into this camp like one injury away. It's similar to third base. One injury away from being in the zone. And, folks, we very quickly entered the zone when DL Hall got hurt. Because, you have your four guys that you knew of, and then Woodruff will come along at some point. Aaron Ashby will be the five. But here's the thing. The injuries don't stop there to starting pitching. That's how baseball works.
Right.
Guys get hurt in your starting rotation. And Tyler Alexander at least gives you a little bit of cushion there because he can eat innings and be lefty Colin Ray. And we've seen this team win a lot of games with Colin Ray and Colin Ray adjacent players on the mound. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. You've seen him do it before. It's probably not going to be just like an unmitigated disaster when he's on the mound. Because, you don't know what Chad Patrick will give you. You don't know what Logan Henderson, and I think Logan Henderson's going to be a good pitcher in this league.
Me too.
As a starter, but you don't know what he's going to give you this year. You don't know if Jacob Mizrowski is a starter.
Carlos Rodriguez
I would put him beneath each of those guys right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and that's basically who the Brewers have. I mean, there's some non-roster guys who can give you innings, like Thomas Pannone, who people will remember from what was the Thomas Pannone game and quickly became the Matt Bush game.
Oh, no.
What a night.
I was on a boat in Hawaii when that happened.
And you got hit by Carlos Santana's baseball.
Yes, I did. That is where it landed. Right in dock there in Kauai somewhere. Yep.
Yeah, I almost took it. I think I probably told the story. I almost took a charge from Matt Bush accidentally walking out of the manager's office. We were like face to face and he almost ran me over just because of the timing of it. And that was the last time I saw him. Anyway, mm-hmm. I don't remember where we were. Non-roster guys, Bruce Zimmerman's there. So you have human beings who can throw baseballs in multiple innings. But you don't have great depth. Alexander does give them some depth. That's a good thing. The Brewers win with depth. We know this. The pitching will probably end up being... I actually feel pretty good about the starting rotation this year. It was kind of... I don't want to say stinky last year because that's unfair. But it was kind of stinky last year. Dallas Keuchel took the ball, four, five times?
It was many. Too many.
They were 17th in ERA, like 21st in or 22nd in FIP or something like that. Obviously, the defense can make them look better than they are, but they weren't very good last year in this area. So I do think they're going to be better in the rotation. I'm not sure the bullpen will be. It's still an area of strength, but it's not going to be, I don't know, second best bullpen in baseball again. Well, that would be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Brewers themselves didn't have high confidence in the starting rotation either because they added Aaron Civale and Frankie Montas. Like they addressed that.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, yeah. Pat Murphy, like, openly by the middle of April was like, yeah, we're bleeped. I don't know who Tobias Myers is, and he's taking the ball tomorrow.
Yeah, that was God, they won 93 games, Kurt. You know what? That's the counterpoint to everything we're saying. They won 93 games, and I don't know if you can tell somebody exactly how they did that.
It wasn't fake, though.
It wasn't fake.
It was a 93 win team. If they beat the Mets, yes. Like, that team could have gone to the World Series.
And even if you don't think they do, if they beat the Mets, they're one of the four best teams in the National League, and that feels right. That's what they were. You know, they were that level of good. And
they're a top six team in baseball, frankly. They were really good last year.
Yep. I can't explain it, but, you know, something about that defense, something about identifying pitchers still, even though I feel like the pitching lab, the Brewers work with pitchers, like every team is catching up here. Like at some point, these advantages that we think the Brewers have aren't advantages, but they're still finding guys on the fringes that you wouldn't expect and having, I mean, Jared Koenig exists and Tobias Myers happened and they have a lot of Brian Hudson examples like that of guys who on paper should not wow you. And yet, They find what makes them work, and then they deploy that. So
sure,
you just have to hope they still have that in them. Shall we get to predictions?
We shall. I can't really talk about this anymore. The Brewers don't make any moves.
No, there's no moves to be made.
It's
no
just kind of funny made. that we're doing like the December talk still in February.
I know.
But that's the way it is. It's lovely.
You know, and I mentally
did get Tom Pannone's name in the podcast today. So
shouts to you, Tom Pannone. Shouts to you, who will absolutely pitch for the Brewers this year. I had mentally prepared myself for an offseason that really wouldn't begin until the middle of January. You know, that was understandable to me. It's still understandable. But then some of the guys went off the board to teams that I would think the Brewers are competing with for free agents, the Royals, the Tigers, the Reds, Cleveland. And the Brewers didn't sign anybody. So
yeah, you certainly got to give like a thumbs up or a little polite golf clap to like the Royals, to the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers made a very competitive offer to Bregman. I understand why he took the Red Sox offer. I think Boer's done good there. Yeah. But the Tigers offer was pretty juicy too. So
yeah. And they signed Flaherty. Their payroll is up like 40%. I mean, they're in again. Now, Detroit isn't strictly small market. Then again, I don't know if anybody is strictly small market the way Milwaukee is. But still, for the most part, you think Milwaukee and Detroit are competing for some of the same players. And Detroit is like, oh, we went to the playoffs last year. We didn't think we were going to, but we did. And now we are putting the gas pedal down. We're going to like double down on that. Like now we think we're good. Good. They also play in a bad division like the Brewers do. Yeah. But they're division. Like, we're going in on this. The Brewers were like, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. Some predictions. Now, this is how we do it. We each make four of them. I put them into categories, but really the categories, you don't need to get too hung up on them. It's really just a way to get increasingly unhinged. There is the likely category, the controversial category, which to me doesn't necessarily mean something that's going to make people unhappy, but it's something that a lot of people would say, I don't think so. So the likely, the controversial, the spicy, which is, you know, really nice. And then the insane, pretty much we're just speaking things into the ether just because we'd maybe have like, we'd like to write some fan fiction or something. It's not actually going to happen, but we want to get increasingly crazy. So
all of mine are going to happen. I believe them in you my do. Core.
This is why you're very good at this, because you believe unhinged things. This is why you would be very good at talk radio, quite honestly, because in your heart.
Oh, man. Nice. Oh, boy.
You'd be good at talk radio. I believe that.
I mean, I did say Jesse Winker would be the best hitter on the team.
That was a prediction that was made.
I'm going to say I was vindicated on that. Health has burned me in the last couple of years. So I'm trying to stay away from that. Actually, no, I'm not, because my first or second one here is like
crazy.
Very much along the lines of, oh yeah, health is going to make you look stupid here. So,
okay. Two things. I just want to be clear. We have not discussed each other's predictions beforehand. I have no idea what you're going to say. And number two, you are absolutely not vindicated in saying that Jesse Winker would be the best player on that team. I don't care what health had to do with it. There's no vindication there. You can argue that you didn't have all the information, but that was one of the worst ideas you've ever had.
Hey, I think going into this year, if Jesse Winker was on this roster, I could say right here, Jesse Winker will be the best hitter on the team. And you'd be like, you know what, Kurt, that's a very reasonable take.
Oh God.
So I think I'm
right. I think you're right. You're so right. That's so bad.
And now you just want to just throw yourself into a bunch of glass.
I'm going to start because I think your takes are going to be better than mine, but I am going to start with the likely category. And that is, it's not going to be a surprise based on what people have heard me say on this podcast. The Brewers are an 82 win team at best. I think the luck runs out. The magic runs out. This is a team that is 500, a little above, or just a losing baseball team. You can't convince me that their model at this point is sustainable, that they can continue to find enough around the edges to compete for the National League Central, to compete for a playoff spot. Now, I was wrong last year. I was probably wrong the year before that. I don't even remember what I said, but I'm sure I didn't anticipate that team just running away with the National League Central, although I feel like maybe they were favored a couple years ago into the 2023 season. But I feel like their luck wasn't terrible last year, and it's bound to swing the other way. Injuries to guys that are a little more key. I mean, Christian Yelich was a big one. I'm not going to pretend like that wasn't huge, but Yelich will probably run into some similar things again. I don't know how many games you can really expect him to play. What if Bryce Turan gets hurt and they can't figure out the defense? What if William Contreras gets hurt? What if one of, Jackson Churio comes up with something? I mean, they're very delicate with him, but you could see how even if he doesn't get hurt, he takes a big step back in production because nothing is linear and people are going to know him a little better this year and maybe try to figure him out. I do not think this is a winning baseball team. I will give them enough benefit of the doubt to believe they are like an 82 win team. That's where I put them.
That is a winning baseball team.
That is a winning baseball team for sure. I just don't see them. I take the under on Vegas. That's my likely prediction.
Okay. I think it's defendable for sure.
Of course it is.
And you did a good job justifying it. That's a good job, JR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unsure whether my likely is controversial or my controversial is likely. So, I'm gonna stick with it like this. The Brewers All Stars are threefold: William Contreras, the world is shocked; Jackson Churio, the world is slightly less shocked;
indeed,
and Nestor Cortes, the world is not shocked at all. Oh wait. You said Nestor Cortes. The world is very shocked. Kurt, you think Nestor Cortes is an all-star? I think I do. I think we're gonna get a crazy first half out of Nestor Cortes where he strikes guys out again and his defense is good. And although with his ground ball rate like under 30%, there is room for this to go very poorly.
Very badly.
I think the Brewers bucked the trend of how they usually like the returns they usually get for their stars, and they went out and acquired this guy in this trade specifically, and they can get the most out of him. And he's still like, everything about his arsenal says he still should be a pretty to very good starter in this league. I think the Brewers get the most out of him. Those are the three. No Yelich, sorry. Maybe Oliver Dunn as a fifth.
Oh jeez. Nestor Cortes has been an all-star before. That's not totally far-fetched or anything. No. I'm going to give you my controversial will remain in the all-star lane. I had a couple options here, but I'm going to stay here in the all-star lane. I ended up backing off of Hobie. I had mentioned that I was considering Hobie Milner all-star and backed off of that. This has the potential to be much worse, actually. I'm going to say that one of the Brewers all-stars this year is Rhys Hoskins. He is not who's been an all-star before. I say this for two reasons. One, this is the absolute fringe optimistic end of my brain. You've heard where my brain normally sits.
This is controversial. You did go controversial here.
This is controversial. I think, if the power stays the same, that power that he showed last year was extremely competent. It was very good. Very good first base numbers that you could live with. It was everything else that was a problem. So I am going to bank on him being fully healthy, an extra year removed from surgery, from ACL surgery. And I think he figures it out to some degree, especially in the short sample of the first half. I think he does hit for much better average. The other side to this is that the first baseman in the National League outside of, I guess, Bryce Harper, no one is jumping out at you. I mean, Freddie Freeman. Yeah, he's up there. Pete Alonso is getting up there. I don't really believe in Pete Alonso as Matt Olson had a really rough first half last year. Now there's no reason to think Rhys Hoskins will leapfrog any of these guys.
Always gets an all-star
Luis Arraez is not.
I don't not disagree with you, player. But he always gets.
He was an all-star last year. That's true. He was
not.
I could see Rhys Hoskins temporarily rising above these guys. And
Christian Walker's gone. Paul Goldschmidt's gone.
I mean, Goldschmidt was terrible for the first half.
Who's the Red? I don't even know some team's first baseman. The Pirates don't have one.
Spencer Steer of the Reds is not someone that Spencer Steer's
good. Oh no, he's good. Yeah, he's good.
He keeps getting hurt. Luis Arraez playing first base is still, that just throws me. I think it's also possible that the Brewers decline enough, like on offense, where Rhys Hoskins is one of the. I mean, it's hard to say. It's hard
to. It's hard to
the token representative, right? Like, because it is.
No,
I can't honestly like visualize a world where William Contreras is not.
This team has good players. Yes, right.
No, I know. Right, I know they do. Yeah. I know they do. So I can't quite say that I would go all in on like the token representative, but I feel like him bouncing back would be enough of a feel good story and maybe be the thing people point to when they say, look at the Brewers bucking expectations again. And it's because Rhys Hoskins has kind of found himself again in a second win. So that's, again, that is the extreme optimistic end of me. And I go that far.
I'm glad you brought this up because I have one. This is not kind of my controversial take, but it is a take I would like to include in mine at the end of the year. It's a secondary take. I have it written down right here. Rhys Hoskins is a phantom IL by the beginning of August.
Uh-oh. That's very different from my take.
Yeah. The other one here is Ernesto Martinez is the starting first baseman. I don't have a timeline here, but at some point we look up and say, oh, Ernesto Martinez is hitting eighth today. Oh, he hit eighth yesterday. You know, that's that sort of thing. So we are at odds on that one for sure. My controversial one, JR, and this is the one that could burn me out in health again, and I could look really stupid for actually myriad reasons. Garrett Mitchell goes 2020, maybe 25-25.
Oh, I like it. I think that's, well, again, health is the issue. But I think that's
33% of the time. That's the other issue.
Sure. Well, if he's healthy and in the lineup all year long, he'll get 25 stolen bases. It's about the homers. But I think he could do that.
Yeah. Look, I'm just planting my flag at Garrett Mitchell this year. That's what I'm doing. It's been very clear for the past couple of months that I'm in on the Garrett Mitchell train for 2025. There's just something about the profile that works that should not. And we'll see if he stays healthy. A lot of ball game left. He has not done it yet.
Yeah. JSOnline.com is a place to go if you want to see what Kurt has written about Garrett Mitchell this year. You called him the most interesting man, I believe. The most interesting man on the Brewers this season.
Fascinating player on the Brewers and maybe in baseball. Read about it. I'm not going to get into it now. Just go read about it.
You should just go read it. It is super interesting. It is fair to say that he is not like many other hitters, if any other hitters, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing about him. It's hard to project him because he's so unique.
The Brewers have a type. Garrett Mitchell does not fit the type.
No, so he's also no one's type. Yeah. My spicy take is going to go also a little bit in line with Garrett Mitchell's output as a 25-25 guy. By the way, if he's a 2020 guy, this prediction will hit. Like we should just say 2020 is pretty good. My spicy take is that this team is going to steal more bases than they ever have before. Franchise records number of steals. Now, that is not a small number at all. In 1992, this team stole 256 bases. That is the fifth most steals of any team in the last 100 years. It's probably more than that. I just stopped looking at 100. It's actually 105 years, and I stopped looking. Now, things get kind of crazy in the 1800s. People stole bases a lot because there was, like, no fences and stuff. I don't know. But what we have seen across baseball in, I'm trying to think, was it 3 years ago? We saw with new rules and whatnot, we saw a 15% increase in steals from 1 year to another. I think that was 21 to 22. And then 22 to 23, 30% increase across baseball, a 30% increase in stolen bases.
Was that year over year?
Correct. Wow. Yep. I'm not talking 21 to 23. That's just 22 to 23.
Right.
And then another 9% last year. So we've just gone up and up and up. It is skyrocketing. The Brewers, you may be surprised to know this, the 20th most steals of any team in the last 105 years. Last year, when they stole 217 bases, that was number 20 of all teams. Yes. Now, they weren't first in the National League even, because Washington stole 223. That is the 14th most steals of anybody in the last... See, the thing is, it's hard to tell because steals are up everywhere. That's just the nature of the new rules and the new system. And I think this Brewers team, which I do not think will hit a lot of home runs, will continue to look for that margin as a place where they can really...
They have to.
They don't have Quentin Berry, so that makes it difficult because he was really, you know, kind of one of the driving forces behind the steal game. But I think we're going to see. Oh, I agree. And they're equipped with a lot of speed. They're equipped with a lot of dudes who I think know what they're doing on the base paths. Garrett Mitchell, oddly, a lot of speed and maybe not the instincts, which is interesting. But I think this team goes way above and beyond with the steals this year and really ramps up that running game and breaks that mark of 256, which is a big, big number. That's going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah.
Very difficult to do.
Got to get 30 from Churio. 20
you
from
do.
Yelich.
Yep. I mean, another 20, big, 20 big number from Terang. Terang is going to have to do another big number.
Yeah. Mitchell goes 30.
Probably means Yelich is healthy all year. Yeah. It's a big number.
Steals, though, for sure.
I mean, if you're using those guys, that's part of the package, right?
Get Jake Bowers in there. He'll still bases.
Five. Okay. That's my controversial take. Tyler Black. Okay. Yes.
I like it. I like that one from you. Oh no, I thought that was spicy, JR. We're in spicy.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're right. Spicy. That was my third take. Spicy. Go ahead.
You're averse to spice, I'm assuming.
I mean, I don't know. I'm a mild guy. What can I say? I'm mild. I'm ordinary.
Priest.
I'm barbecue. You know, like sweet barbecue on the wings instead of the like, you know, hot pepper, whatever, ghost pepper. I don't even know what, if I went on hot ones, I would last 25 seconds. So
microbrew edition. That'd be good.
We should totally do it. Let's do a live one while eating wings. I love that.
I'll get this thing back on track. Spicy. I got two written down here. Can I give two or do I only get one? You can do two.
We make the rules. So you can do whatever you want.
We make the rules. Number one, Nick Mears leads the team in saves and is their best reliever.
Also something that I wrote down as a possibility. I love that one.
I wanted to say I said Nick Mears All-Star at first, but I don't want this to be in the hands of the people that decide the All-Star game. I want this to be in the hands of a 162 game season where Nick Mears saves 25 games, has
that's a big
210 ERA, strikes out 12 per 9. Yeah, that's what's happening. Get ready for it.
That's going to require a pretty early Trevor McGill implosion, I think. Like April.
Injuries happen to people.
Oh, for sure. No, I believe you. I'm just saying, like, to get to 25. Remember, like, did McGill have 20 last year? I think he did.
Yeah,
he had 20. I don't know. 25 is attainable because it doesn't feel like McGill, you know, McGill had half a season, but it doesn't feel like, you know, it by that math, Mears could get 25.
This is a Nick Mears post. I guess you have to tie it in somewhat to Trevor McGill, but it's not a Trevor McGill post. And then my second one, JR, Casey Hunt is in the rotation at the end of the year.
Oh, my God.
Tobias Myers is not.
Kurt, that was my insane take. I swear to God, my insane take is Casey Hunt is in the playoff rotation. How did that happen? Yes. How did that happen? Yes. I don't have an insane take.
We don't talk about Casey Hunt ever.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Now this is born from the same ether. Having Tobias Myers happening last year is what made us think to look for Tobias Myers part two. And Casey Hunt, who's rated the 30th best prospect by Pipeline, was sensational last year, an undrafted guy who is absolutely in that same vein, that Tobias Myers vein, right? I mean, he could easily be that guy.
Over my dead body.
He is not good. The 30th, but he's very
like,
good.
He's got like four big league pitches. So,
yeah.
No, I'm in on Casey Hunt for sure. This again, this is not an anti-Tobias Myers post, but I feel like I had to spice it up somewhere. And Casey Hunt is in the rotation is not nearly spicy enough when we just talked about the pitching rotation and the depth. So trade-off's got to be somewhere. So it's Casey Hunt in, Tobias Myers, unfortunately, out. I might wear this one on the chin hardcore, but we'll see what Tobias Myers' second year is. His peripherals were good, but not great. Certainly not as great as the results were, but we'll see. We'll see. So you don't have an insane take now, is that? Can you come up with one?
Yeah, I can.
Believe? Well, I guess you're not going to believe it.
Well, I
need you to do it now because I got to go last on this one.
Yeah, okay. So I hesitate to do this because really, Casey Hunt, I am a huge fan. And since our love affair with prospect players such as Keston Hira, Jacob Mizorowski, Craig Yoho, we got to have somebody new that we're believing in. Brock Wilkin, I still believe in, but it was a really rough year last year. I want to.
The heart, Casey the Hunt, heart though, in the head. Yes.
I do feel like there is an opening for someone like Casey Hunt to come up and make some pretty impressive big league starts. I am a big believer in him. How about this? I don't know. It's insane. So it can be completely off the wall.
The category is insane. Yes. Yeah. Give me
this. This is the last year Pat Murphy is manager of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I have no intel. I have no reason to think this other than, I don't know, like, how long does it strike you that he is going to be doing this? Now, he was just manager of the year. First time Milwaukee Brewers manager, his name manager of the year. But, you know, this is kind of the final chapter of his coaching career. I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe he really does like the Jack McKeon thing and manages into his deep, you know, into his 70s, maybe. But I guess it wouldn't surprise me if he's like, you know what? That was a lot of fun. I was able to live out what I wanted to do. The Brewers were really good with me for a couple of years and won a Manager of the Year award. And now maybe it's time to try something else or move on or just kind of retire, basically. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. He's still, you know, he's got older kids and younger kids. So it's kind of hard to tell you exactly where he is in his life right now. I don't know. So I don't know him well enough to be able to say that with any certainty whatsoever. That's why this is the insane take. But would it surprise me that this is it for him, that it's just a short stay? It would not surprise me. That's all. That's just a crazy, hunchy vibe. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. You delivered. You had to come through with some heat in the moment.
With something on very short notice,
and,
yes.
And buddy, call the fire department because you came through. So good stuff.
I think last year I said something similar about the Adonazios maybe looking to sell the team, which was stupid.
Team,
I
should, yes.
Or sell like stakes of the, you know, like there's, yeah. That, it was stupid. I shouldn't have said it.
I think one of mine, I don't know if this was insane, if it was spicy, but one of mine was Contreras or Yelich are not on the team. So that proved to be wrong.
Yes.
Whoops. All right. You ready? You ready for me to bring an end to our predictions? I got a couple extra to throw in there at the end, but this is the good. These are the ones I'm planting on.
You promised to deliver here. You told me this would be the best part of this podcast. Maybe you didn't actually say that, but that's what I'm getting from you. So,
that's what I'm glad.
Bring it home. Bring it home, Kurt. The pause is killing me. I can't do this. I can't do the drama.
Aaron Ashby gets Cy Young votes.
Oh, God, Kurt. You already did this. You already tried that. It was bad then.
Oh, I can't quit it. It's my narcotic.
You just made fun of me for even having thoughts that Brock Wilkin could still be a big league contributor this year. Oh, Kurt. This is like Doug Melvin and K-Rod. They ultimately just were meant to be together.
Yes. It's my drug of choice. It's white and red and it's tied together with seams. And there's some yarn in the middle, and it gets flung from the left side at 98 miles an hour, and it moves like this. And no one else throws anything that moves like that.
Kurt, it's Aaron Ashby.
To work.
Aaron Ashby's not a starting pitcher.
The universe tells me that this isn't meant like how did Zach Davies work for years? Jason Alexander did not. That's a bad one.
It was something that happened. I don't know if it worked, but it happened.
The Brewers get so much out of so little.
And here's Aaron Ashby with a lot.
They have the world, and I will not quit it. I can't. As soon as the DL Hall news came out, it's like, well, Aaron Ashby's the fifth star. Aaron Ashby's in a rotation. Aaron Ashby's going to get innings. Aaron Ashby's going to dominate. Aaron Ashby's never leaving the rotation. Aaron Ashby's going to get Cy Young votes. JR, I believe it in my core. Within my bosom is Aaron Ashby belief.
Aaron Ashby has a 4.90 ERA as a starter, even when he's fully healthy, which he is now, but he's not a starting pitcher. I hope, obviously, it would be great because he is another one of our favorites, right? Like, he is such a good dude, and he has come back from so much. And you're right, the stuff is electric. It's electric. I feel like we're going to be having the same conversation about Jacob Mizorowski, much like we did last year. Like, this organization turned Corbin Burnes around from being honestly one of the worst pitchers in baseball in 2019 into an immediate Cy Young candidate over the next several years of his career.
You're talking yourself into it.
I am supporting you because you're my friend. The Brewers have this in them. I agree with you. And it's going to be a click moment, click into place, much like it was last year for Aaron Ashby, who was coming back from a shoulder injury, was not a big league starter, not a big league pitcher. And then all of a sudden, click, he was. And he was a reliever, but he was a good one.
Here's the issue with, here's why it didn't work out when I said this exact same take for Aaron Ashby last year. Maybe in the insanity column, might have been spicy. Either way,
I don't know.
Insane. It was an insane take. He was coming off shoulder injury.
Looney Tunes, yes.
Here's what actually cost him. Grant Bills, friend of the show in spring training, while doing an Aaron Ashby interview, asked him if people should buy up on the Aaron Ashby stock. He went meta with it. You can't do that. It's like when Jordan Love acknowledged Toyotathon.
Yeah.
You can't do it. And he did it.
No. Yeah.
That's what went wrong, and that's not going to happen this year, Grant.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm not quitting it. And next year, I promise to not have the same take if it doesn't work out. I will not go to the well three times in a row.
I will say that of the pitchers on this team, I would only rank three of them ahead of him, of people who I think will get Cy Young votes. That's as close as I'm going to get for you.
Peralta, Nick Mears, and Woodruff?
No, not Nick Mears. I don't know, maybe. Brandon Woodruff. And then if maybe the Tobias Myers thing turns the other way, it goes more real than we think it is going to be, maybe he sneaks in there as well. I would, yes, put Tobias ahead of Aaron Ashby. Not that I think Tobias will, but I don't know, man.
Have you seen the way the sinker moves?
I've seen it, and I think he's got a chance to be a really nice relief pitcher. I really do. I get it, but Kurt, we've got data. We've got data. You can't blame all of his starts on shoulder issues. It just wasn't working, man. Like, I don't know. It could click into place. Certainly, if Aaron Ashby is a competitive pitcher as a starting pitcher, this team is in much, much, much better shape than how I view them right now. So that's certainly something that they'll need, or they would certainly like to have. Kurt,
he's going to do it. He's going to do it and take that for data.
This is, I predicted Self Relic would hit a home run in the playoffs, and then he did. That is a take that I'm proud of, and I will continue to talk about until I'm dead, as I did that. I saw that. If Aaron Ashby gets a Cy Young vote, it will be twice the prediction that Self Relic homering in the playoffs was. It will be twice the prediction.
We talk about you this will have nonstop.
The Self Relic thing?
We don't. Or just no, yeah, we do, but we don't talk about it enough.
We really don't. It should be like, it should be our intro on this show. You know, I've got that music every episode. Yeah. It should really, like, in the middle of the music, it should just be like the voice of me predicting that Sal Frelick is going to homer in the postseason, despite having homered twice all year in May.
He had,
Both in May.
Back-to-back days. He had an homer in the middle of May.
It was.
Oh, man. You saw so well.
I did. And I believed it, too. Like,
You did believe
You don't ever. You don't really believe some things like that. But like, I felt good about it. I felt really, really good about it.
That one came from a place of, like, actual belief in you. No doubt. I got a couple others here to pop off. You don't have to hold one of these, but I just want to get them out there. They range from very random to not that random. I'm going to start with very random. I got Tanner Shears throwing important innings for the Brewers this year.
Interesting. Not a name I've thought of. That's really interesting.
Do you know who that is? You know who Tanner Shears is?
Tell us who Tanner Shears is.
He's like a 26, 27. He's not like a prospect, age prospect. He missed all last year with injury. He throws a disgusting splitter. Like, it's unfathomable, really, how nasty it is. He's got great stuff. So I'm going to put him. He's going to be the, like, relief prospects don't have to have a whole ton go right, especially when they're that nasty to be in the big leagues. So,
I mean, Jared Koenig is not a name anybody knew last year, and then he was essential for the team.
And
so,
Shears has, like, Shears' stuff is, like, twice as disgusting as Jared Koenig. So, and he throws, like, mid to upper 90s. So, yeah, that's good. Caleb Durbin and Oliver Dunn combined for 3.5 WAR. What do you got on that?
I think that's irrational as can be, as you've heard me talk about. But hey, that's a winning baseball team. You know, if that is true, then they are a winning baseball team.
That was almost my controversial one, and I would have bumped it up to 4 WAR for that. But that's not that.
Okay.
That's not as much time about Garrett Mitchell. And then my last one, just to get it out there into the void, is. The Giants will be questioning majorly questioning the Willie Adames contract by year end.
I think that's not a bad idea. I think the Yankees might regret the Cortez deal too. I just have a feeling.
Is this a Nestor Cortez tweet or a Devin Williams tweet? It's not a Caleb Durbin tweet because you've made your opinions there.
I mean, ultimately. It's really hard for that to happen because Nestor is a 1-year player for the Milwaukee Brewers and Devin Williams.
To be a Devin Williams tweet.
I think reliever volatility is always something in the back of my mind. And I think Devin Williams is very special, but reliever volatility is just always there. And Cortez, you've said this before. I think your words, the Brewers making that trade, get better at a position they needed to get better at in the starting rotation. And there's a likelihood that he will have a greater impact, Nestor Cortez will with the Brewers, than Devin Williams will with the Yankees. And if Devin Williams falls off at all, New York's a different animal. I could see it going bad. I don't know. I don't know if that's, I didn't vet that one, so I'm not sure, but I think it's possible.
You feel it. No, that's fine. I'm going to throw another one. Cooper Pratt makes his debut.
I like that. And I would have said the same thing. I think Cooper Pratt appears on this team at some point this year. And
that's probably, that'd probably be spicy. That'd probably be a spicy one if we were categorizing it.
Yeah. I think so.
Borderline insane, frankly, but it's spicy.
He'll be 21. And if they add him to the 40-man roster, it's a pretty big commitment that he's going to be a big leaguer going forward. It's, you know, it's similar to the Mizorowski thing last year. You know, you wanted to see him, but ultimately they wouldn't have been able to commit small amounts of innings to him.
But a little different because Cooper Pratt would be coming up here to be the shortstop.
Right. Which is a higher bar to clear is what I'm saying. Like the odds of that happening are a little bit higher than get up here and, you know, get your feet wet. I don't know if they're in a position with him doing that this year, but it's whatever. I'm into it. I still, you know, I'm the guy who said Brock Wilkin is going to have meaningful at-bats for the Brewers last year. And boy, if Brock Wilkin had a good year, he would be the guy that we'd be talking about as the reason why they didn't get any third baseman.
He's not even.
No, we haven't even mentioned him. I mean,
the fact that he's not in big league camp and they have the third base situation they do is.
It's tough.
Interesting. I mean, part of it, I think, is like they just need to evaluate these other guys more and give Wilkin like breathing space, maybe. Yeah.
For sure.
And not thrust, you know, more expectations on him. So I think it makes sense. But it is interesting to go, you know, first round pick, you're in camp and now you're not. That's interesting.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Kurt, before we let it go? We start doing these on a more regular basis. Our colleague Todd will join us soon.
I have this ball in my stomach. And it's been there ever since I said Aaron Ashby was going to get Cy Young votes. So I don't think it's going to leave because I remember how I can't stop thinking about how I've been ridiculed, how I've been
by
made into the village fool by you. At the end of the year, when you play back my audio, and like I've got these, it's like That's So Raven. I've got these flash forward visions in my head of us sitting in the podcast studio together in late October, and you're just ripping into me and playing the audio, and I feel shame.
The amazing thing about the That's So Raven reference is that that is simultaneously not a reference I would get because it's after my time, but it's also dated. So it's just a fascinating place to be in when you're this level of old, where like there are references that are too old, but also too young for me. That's tough. I'm struggling with that, but Kurt, you know what? We're going to hit on a couple of these this year. We batted 0-0-0 last year. We are going to hit on a couple of these. Something is going to go our way, Kurt, and then we will be celebrating ourselves instead of making fun of specifically you, but maybe both of us in general. It's going to go well. I feel it this year. I don't think it's going to go well for the Brewers, but it'll go well for us.
What else matters?
What else matters? Thank you for listening, everyone, to this episode of Microbrew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We will be back on a regular basis going forward. Todd Rosiak will be on, and then as well as a lot of chatter between Kurt Hoge and myself. Read everything Kurt has at jsonline.com. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll chat with you again soon. Bye-bye. Sal Frelick is going to hit a home run in the postseason. That's my irrational take.
That's your year off the rocker irrational take.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.